You have your Bibles. You can take your Bibles if you would this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and Mark chapter 8. Why are you here this morning? Why are you in church this morning? Why are you on your way to heaven this morning if you're born again? Why are you? Why are you still in this world? What is your mission this morning? Were it not for the cross, there'd be no church. Were it not for the cross, there'd be no heaven for you and I. Amen? We thank God for the cross. And as Christians, our message is still the cross. Amen? Look at me at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the prudent understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Thank God for the cross and the power of that cross. Amen? Were there no cross, there'd be no power for salvation. If there's no cross in our life, then we do not have power to make a difference in this world. I want to speak to you this morning on the fact of no cross and no power. Amen? We must understand what it's all about. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that You would speak to the hearts that are here. And thank You for the classes we've already had today. Thank You for the singing, the offerings, Lord, the activities that have already taken place. Now, Father, we come to the morning message and we focus on Your Word. And Father, we need to hear from You. We need Your Holy Spirit's presence to be known and felt here. We need Him to fill us this morning. Fill me as the preacher. Anoint me from on high. Give me the words to speak that only You can give and fill me with. Make me a vessel of honor. And then those that are present, fill with the Holy Spirit, that will receive the message as You would have them to receive it, Lord. That this message will produce fruit in their life that remains. That they will be encouraged to count it a blessing and a privilege to carry their cross for You. And You carried Yours all the way to Calvary for us. And so I thank You, Father. Lord, bless this morning. Draw the lost to Christ and encourage the saved. I ask in My Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. In verse 34, we use these verses regularly, but it's good to be reminded of them. That's part of the idea of the church and preachers remind you of these things. And when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He, Christ, said unto them, whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me, Christ. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for My sake and the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. The cross. Without the Lord having carried the cross for us up to Calvary's mountain, having hung there and shed His blood and the abuse that He went through and then bore our sins, and died there, and risen again, you and I would not have a home called heaven. We would not have a Father who could call our Heavenly Father, our Father which art in heaven. We would not have our lives transformed as they've been from what we were to what we are by the saving blood and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But even as a Christian then, in gratitude, he says, now I have a cross for you to carry to reach the world with. To carry that cross for the Christian is difficult. To carry that cross for the Christian will bring the same persecution that it brought to him. They will ridicule you. They will abuse you. And they may even put you to death. But he will raise you again if that is the case. Amen? To carry that cross. We are here in these last days, in these last moments of these last days, to make a difference for Christ. And it comes with the power of the cross. Our Lord could have avoided the cross, but He did not. Look at me at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Our Lord could have said, never mind. They could not have killed Him without His permission. They could not take His life. He had to lay His life down. In John 10 and verse 18, speaking of His life, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. When they came to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they asked for Jesus, and He said, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am He. They fell back to the ground as dead men. They could not take Him against His will. He went voluntarily to that cross. God will not force you to carry your cross. You must do it voluntarily to make it count, to make the best use of it. You must say, Father, not my will, but Thy will be done. If you had the power to not have gone to that cross of Calvary, to have not died, would you have done that? Would you have gone to the cross? When you looked at the world and how they were treating you and rejecting you and persecuting you, when they spit in your face, would you have still gone to the cross? I don't know what I would have done as a man. Thank God He was not just a man, He was God. And He endured all that so He could set you free from the penalty, the power, and the bondage of your sin, and give you a home called heaven. If He had avoided it, He would have avoided His purpose that God had for Him being in this world. His incarnation would not have been what God the Father had planned for it. Amen? He had to go to the cross. In John 1:14, the Word was made flesh, and the Word will turn there. In John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us with the glory of the Father, only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was God in this world. He was very God, veiled in flesh, for the purpose of the cross, for the shedding of blood. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We are not just in this world to have our own fun, to accomplish our own goals, to fulfill our own dreams. We are not just in this world as an animal that when we die, it's over and we cease to exist. God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. We are body, soul, and spirit. We are made in His image. To have Christianity without the cross would have been an impossibility. Without the cross, there is no Christianity. Without the resurrection, there is no hope. Romans 1 and verse 16 reminds you and I that it is the power of that cross that makes the difference. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, is a death, burial, and resurrection according to the Scriptures. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It is the power of God. It is what changes us. It was necessary. Had our Lord not have gone to that cross and endured the shame for the joy that was before Him, you would not be a transformed creature this morning. You would not be born again. You would not be part of the church, the true church. You would not be the bride of Christ. You would not be going to heaven. He did all that. For God so loved the world, He loved you. Amen? That He gave His only begotten Son. Look at me at Matthew 16. At Matthew 16. Our Lord here is talking to His disciples, those closest to Him. And if you look here at verse 13, He wants to know, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am. And of course, they gave Him their answers. And then He said to them, but whom say ye that I am? Listen to me. Salvation is not who the church says Christ is. If all you've got is what the church has, you miss the point. If you only believe it because the church says so, you're missing the point. It's not who your grandma and grandpa say it is. You must personally come to a time in your life when you realize who He is. He says to them, but whom say ye that I am? And this morning, He has the same thing to you and I. But whom say ye that I am? And when the morning or the day, the afternoon or evening that you got saved, you said He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You said He is the Lord Jesus Christ. You came to Him for salvation, right? As God who died for man. Peter answered out to Christ, the Son of the living God. And then He goes on to tell them about the church. And then He goes on to say this in verse 21. He's told them this, preparing them. And this is what He does in verse 21. From that time forth, the time He announced what it was, that He was the Christ, to them, He began to Jesus to show His disciples how that He, what's that next word? Must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, they didn't like that message. Peter rebuked him, but God rebuked Peter. Amen? The Lord rebuked Peter. I will tell you that most Christians do not like to hear the idea of carrying our crosses. It's just not what we count as fun. Most Christians today are living for the fun. They are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I'm talking about Christians too now. But thank God for those disciples that realize He bore it for me. I will carry it for Him. I can never repay Him, but I sure can say thank you. And someone carried that cross and reached me. And now I will carry it and reach others. And we carry the cross for that purpose. It is passed on from one generation to the next to carry in this world. It is our torch, the cross of Christ. You will find the same thing. We won't turn to it in Mark 8:31 and Luke 9:22. That word must is there. He must go to the cross. Or you would not have been saved. And now you must carry your cross or others will not be saved. If you don't carry your cross, then they will not hear the message of the cross. We must carry the cross. It's what brought us into the family of God. It's what carried us to heaven. We are divine creatures. 2 Peter 1 verse 4 tells us we have a divine nature. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit came Pentecost, indwells every believer. And we are sealed by Him until the day of redemption. He is what Ephesians 5 says we must be filled with. And then when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, the evidence was not the tongues. If you look at every single case, it was a boldness to preach the gospel. You go through the book of Acts, you actually see they boldly proclaimed, they boldly spake without fear. If before the cross, Peter cowered by the fire, didn't he? But after the cross, after the seaside talk with the Lord and being restored to that fellowship, after Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came, he never looked back, did he? We are to understand that that is the same thing we are to do in this world. We would like to be a witness in this world, but have no battles. And that's just not a possibility. It's like wanting your diploma without having to go to school ever. It's just not going to work out. It's like wanting a paycheck without a job. It just ain't, well, the government promotes welfare, but it ain't the way it works. Amen? Right? It's like wanting to stay in shape without diet and exercising. It's, you know what I mean? It's like wanting to eat just cake and ice cream and never eat the other stuff. It's just not going to work. And we will not reach the world without carrying our cross. And I'm telling you, the world is being shaken up right now because God's trying to wake His church up. He wants us to carry our cross. Now, I'm not saying you're not carrying your cross. I'm just saying if you are carry it more boldly. Carry it more openly. Don't hide it. Amen? There are no easy ways to be a witness. Never has been. It never will be. The devil always tries to offer a counterfeit route. He did it with our Lord. Turn to Matthew 4. When our Lord was on this earth, and he was baptized with John, here at the end of chapter 3, he's baptized before he begins earthly mission. By the way, you cannot serve God as a Christian to the fullest extent if you are rebellious and not submitting to His baptism. We must submit after we are saved to being baptized to be able to serve God to our fullest potential. Our Lord Himself, before beginning His earthly ministry, was baptized of John publicly. And then He goes out into the wilderness for those 40 days and 40 nights and fasted. And in verse 2, He was hungered. In verse 3, tempted, the devil came and offered Him to turn these stones into bread. And our Lord said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The devil's offering an alternative. You don't have to sacrifice these things. You don't have to give it up. We can work together, you and me. You can leave the Father and come to me, and I'll take care of these things with you. He says, he takes back to the city and says, cast yourself down. And in verse 7, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, our Lord tells him. And then, of course, in verse 9, he shows him the kingdom in verse 8. And verse 9, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You can have these kingdoms, Christ, and you don't have to go to the cross, the devil tells him. We can take the easy path. We can have a lot of fun on this path. You can be the kingdom as well, and you can do what you want with them. But had our Lord have done that, He would have lived, but they would have all died eventually. And everyone that died would have gone to hell, wouldn't they? And had He have done that, He would have ceased to have been God because He would have lied. And our Lord can't lie. Amen? So instead in verse 10, He says, get thee hence, Satan. By the way, if you look at what He told Peter in Matthew 16, it's pretty much the same thing. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt not worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. You know, you resist God, you resist the devil, and draw nigh unto God, the devil will flee you. Amen? Listen, the devil even used those sometimes in Christian circles to try and tell us, take the easy route. Peter did it with the Lord, didn't he? The devil himself met him first, and then he tried to even use Peter to influence him. The devil's influence is great. He'll offer you a counterfeit route. He'll offer you a cross that's not quite so heavy, not as many splinters, or a reason to lay it down altogether and let's just go do it this way. Let's lower the standards of the gospel. Let's compromise the gospel. Let's water it down. Let's include all churches and all religions into it. Let's lower our testimonies so we have less impact as a witness. Let's water down the Bible with other versions and have less of an impact. Let's take the easy way. No cross, no power. We must carry our cross. Listen to this little song here. It's Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone and All the World Go Free. No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. The consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free. And then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. Upon the crystal pavement, down at Jesus' pierced feet, joyful I'll cast my golden crown in His dear name repeat. O precious cross, O glorious crown, O resurrection day, yet angels from the stars come down and bear my soul away. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? And there's a cross for you and there's a cross for me. Amen? We must. These preachers today on TV preaching the easy Christianity, if you'll just do things and send your money into them and do this, you'll have a life where the money will pour in, a life where your jobs will be great, your health will be great, and everything will go just fine. What do they do with all the Christians around the world that are being persecuted right now? How do they answer that question? Well, they say, pray for them and give us more money so we can go help them. Listen, friend. God didn't promise you an easy road down here. It's a straight road. It's a narrow gate. You'll be able to find it. It's a rugged path. But oh, home is going to be sweet. Amen? But it must be voluntary. Our Lord had to willingly lay His life on that cross, or you would have no salvation. And you must willingly pick up your cross and carry it, or you will not be a successful Christian. You will have to sacrifice things here. Our Lord laid aside the things of heaven to come to this world, didn't He? He knew what it meant to be hungry. He knew what pain was. He no doubt knew what sickness was. He knew all those things. He knew sorrow. He knew persecution. He knew rejection. He knew all those things here. In heaven they sang His praises. Here they pronounced His doom. He laid all that aside because He loved you and I that much. And now He says, well, you love me enough and love those souls enough that have not yet come to me to go out there and carry your cross. I think of those students out there in Oregon. If someone point a gun to your head and say, are you a Christian? What would be your answer? Would you be tempted to say, like Peter, no and curse and swear so you can maybe slip by? Or would you stand up and say, yes, and He's been so good to me. He's bought my salvation and I cannot deny Him. And be shot between the eyes. Those Christians that were martyred for their faith, whether it be here at those times around the world, I think they receive the same standing ovation that Stephen received when he got to heaven. Men, and not on one of them there would one have gone home any other way once they're there. once they saw Jesus' feet standing up, did Stephen look back at all? He said, Lord, lay not this into their charge. And he was gone. Amen? Right? And it'd be the same for every believer here. You'll not receive one splinter from that cross that God won't reward you for in eternity. You'll not have one bruise from that cross on your shoulder or your neck that He won't reward you for. There'll not be one bit of suffering you'll go through that the resurrection won't take care of. Amen? See, He died on that cross, but He also had the power to rise again. And my friend, we have the gift of eternal life, and we shall rise again. In Mark 8, verse 31, we read Matthew 16 a little bit ago, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders. That's a religious crowd. Listen, if you don't bow down to the Pope and kiss His ring, if you don't bow down to the one world government, one world church right now, the elders and the chief priests and the scribes are going to reject you and be killed. And we may be also eventually. But after 3 days, rise again. Did He rise again? Did He promise us we would? Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Without the cross, religion is vain. Without the Christ of that cross as Savior of the world, religion is vain. Look at me in verse 16. Or verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Is He raised? Then your faith is not in vain. You are yet in your sins if He's not raised. Was He raised? Then your sins are gone. Then also they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. You know any saved folks that have gone on beyond this world? Without Christ they perished. But is He risen? Then they're home in heaven. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But do we only have Him in this life? We have Him for eternity to come. He says, look at verse 20. And I had this word I have for years circled and highlighted. But now, and the word is I have, well, quotation marks around it, is present tense. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Oh, He bore His cross, but then He endured the resurrection. And yes, you bear your cross, and there's a resurrection day coming. It's here. It's going to be here. Persecution's coming. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shelter persecution. In the last days, perilous times shall come. It's going to cost to carry that cross. But you hear me? Resurrection's coming. Paul said in Philippians 1, after for the body to be present with the Lord. Do you believe that? Philippians 1, 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. 2 Corinthians, after by verse of the Lord. Philippians, he said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. To gain. For me to live is Christ, that means to carry my cross. To win souls for Him. To bear fruit that remains, to glorify by the Father, and then to go on to something even better. You get home and you see, actually see the souls you influence for heaven. And so you don't know that track you handed out, and that person that stranger may have taken, you have no idea where that track went to after that, right? They may have read it and got saved. They may have tossed it on the side, but they have picked it up. They may have laid it somewhere else. Someone else, it may have gone through 15, 20 hands. Reach more than one soul. You don't know. Those books we gave to India, and one book goes to, what is it, 21,000 people's hands out, or 21 hands out, say it is, and we did it, what was it, 1,500 of them? Amen? Do the math. There could be thousands of souls in heaven because of that. But that person you witness to, that maybe you're sitting in McDonald's witnessing to somebody, and that person rejects you, and you think, I was a failure. No, you weren't. You gave me the opportunity. They have a free will. But you don't know about the person over here listening. Sitting there thinking, And they may have gone to their car. And they have sort of saved them and never known you to tell you again.
Men, maybe you're in the hospital, that doctor, that nurse, you meet just one time. You don't really get to heaven. And God opens our eyes and opens the books and we begin to see. That's where my missions money went to. It did that over there. And there's those over there. That's where the tracks went to. Look at my prayers I did here for those people. My prayers actually were part of their coming to Christ. My praying for them actually made a difference. And to have them come throw their arm around your neck and say, thank you so much. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. You see, I'll get to heaven. And I'll see the results. You might not see him down here. Did Stephen see Saul get saved down here? No, but he sure did from heaven's side, didn't he? It's a cost, my friend. Are you willing to carry your cross this morning? Would you be willing to come to an altar this morning and say, Father, on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, I accept my cross. Maybe you've been struggling with it. Maybe there's something in your life God's doing that He wants from you that is not doing the way you want it. And maybe you just say, I'm tired of it. Maybe it's time to come and say, God, I accept my cross. If this will mean souls get saved, if this will mean that I will be able to point more souls to you, then God, I accept my cross. Is that too much to ask of God? Certainly not. For our Savior said, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. We know that's not my will, but thy will be done. Amen? And you would ask the same of you this morning. In a moment, we're going to sing the old rugged cross. I'll first have you to play through a verse or two of it. Well, maybe you may want to come to an altar and just kneel there and say, God, I'll take my cross. I count it an honor to carry that cross for you, Lord. By your grace, it'll be able to be done. It won't be done in my power, Lord. By your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I'll carry that cross. And I'll do it with joy, not resenting it. It may cause me some pain here and some rejection here, but I know that the eternal results will be worth it. And I come to carry my cross, Lord. The world is dying for need of Christians to carry their cross. Will you carry yours today? That's the invitation this morning. If you're here without Christ, He went to that cross for you, and unless you come to Him, there's no heaven for you. The only way home is the cross. If you'll come this morning and take my hand and meet me down front and say, preacher, I need to know I'm going to heaven. We'll help you get it settled. We'll do it today. You come. Father, I pray now you'd speak to the hearts that are here. May we be willing to carry our cross for you. It will be a difficult path, a rugged path, a straight and narrow path, but the path that will produce fruit, the path that will influence souls for Christ. When we get to heaven, we'll see the gain we had for giving our lives to Christ. I pray the altar be full this morning of Christians saying, Father, here I am. I will carry my cross. Lord, you have your way in the invitation. If there's any lost upon the sound of my voice, I pray this morning they'd come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. I ask in my Savior's name. Amen. Friend, if this message has been a blessing to you, or if we can help you in any way, please contact us at the Antrim Faith Baptist Church, P.O. Box 129, Zellinger, P.A., 17272. Or if you're in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, visit us at our church, 248 West 2nd Street, Waynesboro, PA, 17268, at the lower level of the Renaissance Building. We'd love to have you stop in with us. If you'd like to email me, it's Pastor Herb, PastorHerb, at Embark, EMBARQ, mail, mail.com. Thank you very much for listening. Lord bless you, and have a great day.